Okay, we are on Daf Hey Amid Aleph. After discussing the Mishnah that says the core case of making witnesses false witnesses, and that basically is the second pair of witnesses is disproving the witnesses, not the objects of their testimony, but the witnesses themselves saying, "How could you have been where, say what you said when you were with us somewhere else?" Then Rava gave a few scenarios of people being in a certain space on the west side, the east side of the palace, or being in a certain place. Maybe you can get there from the day they testify till the next day. So Rava gives two more cases.
Rava, stop mirroring it.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Somebody pointed it out to me that we're not mirroring. Okay, now we should be mirroring. So Rava pointed out, he's going to point out two more cases where it's not a case of where they were, but the people there, the accused that they're testifying against, what's basically going to happen is the second pair of witnesses will say, "You couldn't have testified what you said about this guy, but by the way, we did see what this guy did wrong, and he's supposed to get killed anyway." So the second pair of witnesses is really saying the following: you couldn't have been where you were, plus the guy you're accusing, we saw him do it, and he's going to die anyway. So let's put it all together, and you'll see it's very interesting. V'yamarav, bo shnayim, the first two pair, they come and they say, b'chad b'shab sohareg ploni es ploni, on Sunday, so-and-so killed so-and-so. Okay, so these witnesses want this guy to get killed. Now come the second pair of witnesses who are going to make the first pair zomamim and more. Ubo shnaim, a second set, come v'yamru, imanu hayisam b'chad b'shab. So you were with us on Sunday somewhere else, you could not testify. So clearly we're making them edim zomamim. You could not have testified. You were in another country with us on Sunday. Step one. But now that we're bringing up the case, Ella betray Bishabsa Horag Plonius and Nefesh. But really, yes, so and so did kill so and so, but not on Sunday, but on Monday. So now, what are the factors? We have two factors here. The one factor is the second set of witnesses are clearly showing that the first pair are liars, point one. But point two is, well, what did the liars want to accomplish? They wanted to kill the accused. Right. Yeah. But the second set of witnesses, but by the way, yes, this guy is going to get killed because they're testifying two things. They're testifying you witnesses are zomamim, A, B, and the one you said he killed on Sunday, well, he did, but not on Sunday. He killed on Monday.
We saw it. Is it there?
Yeah, we saw it too. The second pair is testifying two things. On Sunday, we were with you out of town. We came back together from out of town Sunday night. We flew back from Israel. Monday morning, we saw, so-and-so, the ones that you testified, but wrong day, you got the day wrong, was Monday. The reason you got the day wrong is you couldn't have testified.
They become primary witnesses.
They are. They're always primary. They're primary to the lying witnesses, and they're primary to the crime that happened. They're agreeing to the first pair of witnesses that a crime happened. They agree that so-and-so is the murderer, and so-and-so is the victim, but it's a different day. And they're saying, in the day you said Sunday, you could not have said Sunday because you were with us on Sunday. So now the question is like this: what do we do to the Eidim Zomim? Because on the one hand, they are liars. They wanted to kill somebody incorrectly, but this guy's going to get killed anyway. So now the question is, will we apply to them, you do to them as they intended? Normally, the normal case Eidim Zomim is, the second pair is not saying that the victim, the accused, is still going to die. So now we're saying, so do to them what they want to do. Wait a minute. They want to kill him, but he's going to get killed anyway because of the second testimony. And it's those second witnesses, the very ones that are making you zomamim, are the very ones that are saying the accused is going to die.
Yeah.
So you might think maybe we wouldn't kill the Edim zomamim because based on the second testimony, the first witnesses would still die because of the second. the victim would still die, the accused would still die because of the testimony of the very witnesses that are making the Eidim Zomimim Zomimim. You might think that. I'm sorry? Because. But even without their plans, I'm saying, but not every time by Eidim Zomimim do we kill them. Let's say they lied and the guy got killed, and then we found out we don't kill them. Okay, so here maybe the fact that the second witnesses are saying this guy's the accused is a dead man anyway. So then, maybe you think not. So we will see. I don't know why it's common.
You're not saying these guys made a mistake of the days, we're saying that they lied.
Yeah.
Correct.
They lied about the days.
Correct.
They lied about the facts.
Why would they lie about the date?
Their testimony was false. The first pair of witnesses are clearly liars. Yes. Because they were not in the place. There's no question about
it. It's not, they made a mistake.
Not a mistake. They're liars. They invented up the story.
How could they invent something that actually happened?
Because it happened the next day. If you say, I saw this one kill this one on Sunday. You sure it was Sunday?
Is it possible they made an error in the day?
No, because of the Besen asked you a million questions. You can't get off the hook. Then you take the whole law of Eidim Zomimim off the hook. You're destroying the whole concept of Eidim Zomimim. Oh, I didn't know it was Sunday. What do you got? The judges ask you a million questions. Sure it was Sunday. Sure it was after Shabbos. Sure it was this. Yes, we know it was Sunday. If they weren't sure about the day, their test would not have been accepted to begin with. So these guys were as clear as day. It was Sunday. Now they got proven liars. You were out of town with us.
They fabricated the story.
Yes, that's Eidim Zomimim. It's always a fabricated story.
Happens the story came true the day after.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the way they said it.
Okay.
It wasn't like, oh, we saw it on Monday, we mixed it up with Sunday. That's not the case. Again, if they were not 100% clear in the initial testimony, you never would kill anybody. You can't. That's a great example. When I said Sunday, I made a mistake. Well, Besson asked you a million questions. You sure it was Sunday? Sunday's day comes after Saturday. We don't want you to say later that it was Monday and Sunday. Are you absolutely sure it's Sunday? Yeah. We're absolutely sure it's Sunday. Then they can't come another. Oh, we thought we meant. But they asked you a million times. What did you mean? We're not talking about politicians now.
Yeah.
We're talking in a Jewish court where you can't get out of these things. So anyway, but we'll take it a step further. According to the second pair of witnesses, on Sunday, the killer was not a killer because he didn't kill till Monday.
Right.
But let's take a second case. It's going to be the same law. Uh-huh. Ella, the law, not only that, Ella filu amru erev Shabbos harg plus. Let's say the second pair come along and say, you can't say that he killed him on Sunday. You were with us out of town on Sunday. Plus, we're going to also say that the accused did kill, but he killed on Friday. He killed on Friday. Now, you hear that's a bigger point because when it comes out the witnesses lied, they were lying about somebody who was already a murderer. The first case, he didn't become a murderer on Sunday. He became a murderer on Monday. So I might think in this case, their mom is testifying against a guy who actually killed, who actually will get a death penalty for what he did on Friday before these guys are lying about Sunday. Still in all, Neharogim, these first pair of witnesses are killed. In both cases. You'd hear a possible, how many, why not to kill? Impossible, because after all, the other guy's getting killed anyway. But doesn't matter, Neharogim. Why? Why are they getting killed? The guy's getting killed anyway. The answer is, because at the time they testified and they came to the court, the first witnesses came before the second witnesses come. Let's play it out. First witnesses say, Reuven killed Shimon on Sunday. Court goes through the whole thing and say, okay, based on what you said, he is now guilty and the execution has been set. Okay, at that point, they're killing this guy unwarranted because there's no other testimony yet. Now the second witnesses come. But when the second witnesses come, the first witnesses have now placed this fellow incorrectly for a death sentence. right? At that point, because the second witness haven't come. So at that point, honestly, before the second witnesses come, Gavra Lav Bar Katlahu. This person was not yet subject to execution because the second pair of witnesses did not come. Okay, now, very important point. The second witnesses did not come. So, and therefore, they're liable to the reciprocal penalty for their false testimony. Because at this point, since the second witnesses did not come, they are giving him a false execution that should not be happening to him based on what the facts of the ground are. Right? Even if the second pair claimed that the guy murdered on Friday, still the man was not going to be executed because the second witnesses didn't come forward yet. So you're testifying against a guy who is not a person who is supposed to get killed. So they're liable to the reciprocal penalty for that. Now, let's say it's before the second witnesses came. So look at Rashi says, very interesting. It's a very difficult Rashi to understand. Let's look at 27. Thus, had the accused, let's go back to the accused now. Remember, on Sunday, we don't have the second witnesses telling the truth yet. We have the first witnesses lying. Thus, had the accused confessed at that point, he would have been exempt. Accordingly, you have to know why he'd be exempt if they say he killed somebody. Anyway, accordingly, when the false witnesses testified against him, they were attempting to execute by their testimony someone who was not yet subject to being executed. Tosafot read, for understand Rashi mean that the murderer would have been exempt himself from the death penalty by confessing and keeping the principles stated in regard to monetary fines, that one who confesses is exempt. Thus the false witnesses have subject him to a death sentence from which he could actually have escaped. Tosafot challenges this explanation on the grounds that we never find this rule being applied to death penalties, right, nor does it stand to reason. For if there ever was such a rule, every person committing a capital crime would rush to court to confess his guilt and thereby exempt himself from the death penalty, etc. All right, so anyway, so that explanation's a little bit rough. Some suggest that Rashi does not mean that the accused would have exempted himself by confessing, but simply that he would have not been convicted had he confessed. The fact that one cannot be executed on the basis of his own confession demonstrate a person is not inherently subject to execution until witnesses testify him and the court convicts him. One who knows himself to be guilty of a capital crime is not under any obligation to have himself killed. He becomes subject to execution only when the court imposes that penalty upon him. According to the false witness, attempt to have someone executed who was not actually subject to death penalty. All right, that's the real answer. Okay, the real answer is, since they attempt to bring about the execution of someone who was not actually subject to execution, they're liable to the reciprocal penalty that they are found to be zomimim. Okay, so therefore, and as continues, had he actually been subject to a death sentence, however, the false witnesses would not be executed for attempting to have executed for another crime, because they would have been attempting to kill someone who's already legally dead. We'll see that in a minute. But anyway, so the bottom line is, when they testified, that first guy was not yet a dead man because the second witnesses had not come. So we only ask one thing. When they testified on Sunday, had they not come, what would happen to this guy? He would be walking free. And that's all. So now, so that's the point that the Mishnah, that Rava is saying, that even though the accused that they're testified falsely of eventually is going to get killed, he is going to get killed because of the testimony of the second witnesses, but we look at when you testified, this fellow, would he have lived, would he have died just with what you said? He would live because there was no other witnesses yet, even though God knows he deserves to be died, but the Beis Din doesn't know he's supposed to die. So you falsely said it, and if nothing else would have happened, you would have killed a guy who shouldn't have gotten killed because no Beis Din said his excuse yet. So that's the statement of Rava. To which the Gemara says, very nice, very nice. The only problem is, it appears we have a Brisa that already taught us this. Rava is an Amora. He's a later rabbi. Even though it's a wonderful idea, if an earlier source says the same wonderful idea, then what are you telling us? As we're going to see, the Gemara is going to ask this question. My Kamash Malam, what was the insight you told us? Why, seemingly, that Zomim witnesses are executed for testifying falsely, even when the victim is actually guilty, then you want to see that's a Chiddush? Tanina, We're going to learn at the very next Mishnah, on the next page, we're going to learn, really effectively says this. And the Gemara only gives you the last statement of the Mishnah, assuming you already learned the whole Mishnah. So we're going to get that. Lefikach, it says, therefore, since they are considered two separate sets of witnesses. This is already the Mishnah. You don't even know what's going on yet. Nimtzas achas mim zomim. You find one of them are zomim. Hu vehene rogim. They and they are killed. Vashnia patur. And the second one is exempt. Now, how's Gemara expect you to understand what's going on if you didn't learn the Mishnah? So, of course, Gemara expects you to have learned the Gemara ahead of time before you learned this Gemara. How do you do that? I don't know. Anyway, here's the case. Now you have to know the case. Speaking about two pairs of witnesses. Okay, one pair says we were standing here, one pair says we're standing here, and they both are, they're separate pairs, they're not coming in together. Two guys walk into court and said, we saw so-and-so kill so-and-so, we were standing over here, we're our own two witnesses. Another guy, the other pair, come along and say, yeah, we saw the same thing, and they testify the exact same thing, and saying that they saw him get killed. All right, two different pairs of witnesses, they viewed the same murder from two different vantage points. And more than that, these witnesses can't see each other, so they're mamish separate witnesses. Okay? Now, what the Mishnah then says, even if one pair is discredited through Hazama, that's another pair says, you couldn't have said that. You were with us in China at the time. Right? But the other ones still stand, and the guy gets executed. Okay? Some are executed because they testified false against someone who was not at all at that time subject to a death penalty. Okay? The reason the Mishnah states the second set is exempt when in fact we even accept the testimony, we'll explain that up. But anyway, what do we see? These guys testified he killed over here. These guys testified he killed over here. Later on, another pair of witnesses comes and says, you guys couldn't have testified about that. You were with us in China. So now what happens? This guy's going to get killed because these witnesses are still solid witnesses. These guys are going to get killed because they were liars. But so isn't that the exact same case of Rava in theory?
Yes.
Rava's case is one pair of witnesses said he's chayiv, and the same pair says you were out of town.
Yeah.
The Mishnah is a little different only insofar as somebody else comes along and zomifies these guys, and these guys just make their testimony. But at the end of the day, these guys are getting killed, even though that guy's going to get killed anyway. So we're saying, why do I need Rava to tell us this insight? It's a Mishnah that's going to say that even if another pair will get the accused dead, we still kill this pair for lying because they were not there. And it was a totally and yet, right, these guys are not yet being executed, right, because the witness is just coming for the first time. So what was the insight of Rava? So the Gemara says, you're absolutely right, in a sense. The first part of Rava's ruling, Rava said a statement, we say, is absolutely correct. There's no insight yet. But Rava still has something else to say. The second half of Rava's statement will be a chiddush. So in other words, when the Gemara says, Rava, you made your whole statement. If this one pair knocks out this pair and testifies this guy's killed, there's no insight there. But a lot of times the rabbis say the simple case to set up the insight. So in fact, you're right. What Rava said up to now, no insight. You could have learned it from the Mishnah. But Rava, even though the case is slightly different, it's not exactly the same case, but the same principles. But Rava has still yet one more statement to make, and that is going to be the insight. So there's no chiddush yet. I agree. No chiddush yet. We know that from the Mishnah. But he set up a case that now we're going to learn the second half of Rava's statement, and that statement is going to be a chiddush. And that's where we're going to see what the chiddush is. Okay? So now, we need it for that. Now let's continue Rava. Rava first said, two witnesses come and say, you know, the guy killed him. The second person, you couldn't have said that. You were with us on the other day, or the day before, or the day after, and you couldn't have testified. Okay, now, remember, what did the second witnesses say? All they said was, you couldn't have testified, you weren't there. Plus, as a matter of fact, we saw him kill. Okay, fine. But, now look at the same. It's the same thing with one little but important change. Bo Shnaim, let's start it up from the beginning again. Two people falsely come. V'omra, and they say, Bechad b'shapsa, on Sunday, not just he killed, Nigmar Dino Shalploni. We saw so-and-so killed, And in another court, the other court said he is going to get executed. They lied to saying, we're witnesses. We, on Sunday, were in a different Besdin. We're talking about a different Besdin now. Well, in Toronto, these witnesses said, we were in Montreal on Sunday. And in Montreal, the Besdin said, this guy is chayav for killing somebody. We didn't see the murder. We just know one thing. We were in Montreal. It was Montreal, yeah, in Montreal, and we were in Besdin, and we heard the Besdin say, Chaim, the uncle, is a murderer, he is being executed. And then you know what happened? And then it's a week later, and they see Chaim, the uncle, walking around in Toronto. Obviously, he escaped, he ran away from Besdin. So what are they testifying? Oh, that the guy, not that he killed, they don't even know, they just know one thing. Besdin said he's going to get executed for killing. And that's going to be the lie. That's going to be the lie. They say on Sunday we're in Montreal and we were there. We were sitting in the court and the court said Chaim Yankel is guilty of murder.
How else would they know?
That wasn't the judgment.
Though. Well, they're lying, but they're making up the story. They're making up the story, but they're saying we were in Montreal last Sunday. Anyway, let's say today is Monday, yeah? So let's say today in Toronto, witnesses come along and we all see Chaim Yankel is walking around. They say, there's a murderer there. What are you talking about? Well, last Sunday, we're in Montreal. We saw the Besdin say he's guilty of murder. He's supposed to get executed. He must be escaped or something. Now in Toronto, let's kill him. We have to kill him in Toronto because they're testifying. He's like, he's a murderer. And that would be the law if they were not lying. If they were not lying. To say, that guy's a murderer. What are you talking about? Well, we were in Montreal last week. They said he's guilty. He must have escaped. And now we have to kill him. And now we would kill him based on that testimony. However, comes a second pair of witnesses. Uboshaim, now a second pair come and say, what are you talking about? Bechabisha, last Sunday you were with us in Toronto. You weren't in Montreal. We're assuming you can't get to Montreal from Sunday to Monday by foot. Okay, anyway. Okay, no planes, no trains, okay? But the truth of the matter is, Ella Bear of Shabbos, Nigber Dina Shalploni. But really, you're right. You were with us in Toronto last Sunday, but we were in Montreal the Friday before, before in Montreal, and we saw the best and said he's guilty of murder.
So they were, okay. All
right. Okay. The difference is from the first case is that the witness say we saw him killed. This is not, they're saying we know that he was being convicted and he's supposed to get executed. The other one's saying, well, no, the fact of the matter is, you were with us, you couldn't have seen that, but we saw it 2 days earlier that he was convicted and he should die. Not only that, the law owed, not only that, Elafilo Amra betray Bishop Singer. They could say, no, the fact of the matter is, you said it was Sunday, you couldn't say it, you were with us, but the next day we were in Montreal, the next day, and then he was convicted, the day later than what you said. But you couldn't have testified because you were thus out of town. Now, what would you say, Shelley? You would say we should still kill these false witnesses because they were liars. Yeah. Here's the Chiddush now. Ain Eil and Rogan, these witnesses are not killed. Why are they not killed? Because when did they testify? Today. At this point in time, the guy they're testifying against, is he a dead man or not?
Yes,
because now the other witnesses said he was already convicted in another court. And it was a week ago. Even if they said he was convicted the day after, you said he was convicted. But when the liars are today in Toronto, who are they testifying?
A dead man.
A guy who is, because the Besdin convicted him. He's a dead man. And that's the Chiddush. That's a Chiddush. Because at the time they're testifying today in Toronto today, Gava Bar Katlohu, this is a fellow who was already subject to execution because the honest witnesses said he's an executed guy. This fast law was not stated in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just talked about where they're testifying we saw him kill, not that we're testifying that he's a dead man. Here's the point. Once a person has been condemned to executed, which was actually true before these false witnesses came, he's legally considered a gavra kitila, a dead person. One is therefore not liable even for killing him, and surely not for trespassing. No, more than that, More than that, if a Beis Din says this guy's a dead man, okay, then what happens? Let's say the guy runs away. Now, if I just go and shoot that guy just for no reason in the world, I don't get punished. Because once Beis Din says he's to be executed, as far as halacha is concerned, you haven't killed any. He's dead. Now, it's not a good thing to do. You shouldn't do it. Beis Din might punish you for other punitive reasons. But at the end of the day, you don't get killed by a Jewish court because he's a dead man. So that's the reason why the loophole, so to speak, why the false witnesses don't get killed, because this guy was a dead man anyway. Even if he, no one would have ever told us. Let's say the second pair never came. And the guy could have theoretically lived another 50 years. But in God's eyes, he's a dead man. When the Beis Din convicts him, he's a dead man. So it is regarding that. Now the next thing is just a repetition of the same thing, but instead of death, lying about a death penalty, they lied about a monetary fine. It's going to be everything the same, but instead of falsely testifying about death, they're falsely testifying the guy should have got lashed or punished something else. Yeah. And the same idea. So it'll go faster now. The same idea will happen. We're talking about a fine. Witnesses lying about a fine. Let's say you say a guy stole, you got to pay double, right? Now the double is a fine. That's a knas. Yeah, yeah. When you say somebody stole from somebody $100 and he didn't come forward, you now causing him to lose he'll have to pay 200. Yeah. That's a knas. So the same thing will be when witnesses falsely testify about a knas, yeah. And then the second pair of witnesses says you couldn't have said it, but the guy really did steal also. Same idea, we're just taking the idea of death and applying it to a knas, such as Bo Shnaivarim, two witnesses falsely came along and said, on a Sunday, this guy stole the thing, he slaughtered the animal or sold it. That means you're paying four or five times. When you steal and slaughter or sell it, and you're caught, and you didn't admit it, four or five times. So this first liars are saying he has a knas of paying four or five times. Ubo Hashem, a second pair of witnesses come along, and they say, you couldn't have testified that, B'chad B'shabson, you were with us on a Sunday. But the truth is, you're right, though, it is a true fact, El B'tray B'shabson, Gunnar V'tachamon, but he stole on a Monday, right? So now, Mishalman, they have to pay.
Yeah, they're false. Yeah.
They have to pay, they were false witnesses, and had the second pair not come, they wouldn't have to pay. V'lo, yeah. Not only that, Elafilo Amri, even if the second witness says Be'erev Shabbos Ganav Nachbar, he stole and started a day before you even testified. Still, Mishalman, they have to pay. Why? To be eaten at a Kamisadi when they testified falsely. At that point, Gavra Lav Bar Tashum, he was not someone who had to pay yet because the second witnesses didn't come yet. So they're off the hook. So they have to pay. The liars have to pay because the guy would not have had to pay. On the other hand, Bo Schneider, two people falsely said, Ram Bechad Bishab, Sagana Fetavachu Machar, Vinig Mardino, and the son of the guy stole, he also slaughtered, and he was caught, and he was taken to Beis Din, and Beis Din says he has to pay, right? Ubo Schneider, and then another two people come along, Ramar, and say, no, Bechad Bishab, you were with us on Sunday, you couldn't have testified, but it is true, El Erev Shabbos, Gana Fetavachu Machar, Vinig Mardino, but they did all that on us Friday, and they were judged in a court to be guilty. Not only that, El Afilo Amri, even if they said, the guy said he stole on the Sunday and slaughtered and everything, the same thing. But he was convicted on the Monday, which was after they said it, still in all, in that case, Ein Mishama. They're not going to have to pay then. Why? Same svar. To be eaten, the Kamisadi, because at the time when they testified here, that he was already guilty to pay in another court based on the second testimony of the witnesses. Gavra Bar Tashumi, he had to pay already, right? In the second case, the liars, when they lied, at the time they came to us, the guilty guy was already guilty based on the right. Future testimony of the second witnesses. Right. So he already had to pay. So there's no way out. So therefore, they are off the hook. Obviously, we speak of a case where it's clear that the second set is testifying of the theft and slaughter of the same animal that the first set spoke about. That's obvious. So in that case, you do not have to pay. So basically, we're being told that when the second witnesses come, and they show that the first ones were clearly liars. They couldn't have said, but if they also say, but who they testified against was already convicted in a court for a death penalty or convicted in a court to pay a fine, and that already existed before the false witnesses came, well, the guy already owed the money. So at that point, there was nothing to discuss, and that's a little bit of an incident. We're not talking they're dead men. They're not dead men. But they were still had a legal obligation to pay. So therefore, these false witnesses really didn't tantamount say anything because there's nothing that they said that changed any reality. And that's the end of this sugya. Perfect place to stop. Okay, you want to say your Rabbi Chanan.